risked sidelining the desires of, quote, half of Catalunya. She also wants to protect municipal workers from possible legal action. With its 1.6 million residents, Barcelona's participation will be crucial for the credibility of the referendum. On the sidelines of Monday's La Diada celebrations, Ada Colau told reporters, "We'll keep talking with the Catalan government and we'll see how to make it possible for everyone to express themselves freely and can take part on October 1st freely, as on any other workday." The leader of Podemos, Pablo Iglesias, was also at the rally with Ada Colau and told their followers, "I would like the nation of Catalunya to be able to construct a collective project with the rest of the peoples and nations of Spain. That's what we would like. We will work hard for republican values to build a new idea of the country."
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
On the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
There's still two rules in the fucking Latinos family. Don't marry somebody black, and don't park in front of our house. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your, I'm talking, bitch, sit your fucking ass down. Show, sit your ass down. You can't take a joke, you're in the wrong motherfucking place. You can't take a joke, you're in the wrong. So sit your fucking ass down or get the fuck out of here. Sit your fucking ass down or get the fuck out of here.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart of the region of the region of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
One, two, three, four. Hey, you guys, it's your girl, T. So I want to talk about this tweet that went viral the other day. So what happened is that there's this girl. Her name is Erica Escalante. And this broad has the nerve to be a racist Mexican, okay? Her and a homegirl was out in a cotton field. Where they found a cotton field, I don't know. I know there's a lot in South Carolina, but her and her friend were out in a cotton field. And she decides to post a picture of her and her friend picking cotton. And she titles the picture, "Today I Let My Inner Nigger Come Out." So once she titled this and she posted this on social media, it went viral. And within a few hours, they found out where she worked, what she was doing. Come to find out, she was an intern for Isagenics. People online ended up contacting Isagenics. She claims that she reached out to them, but it was the people online who reached out to Isagenics via Twitter first. Once they found out what she had posted, she lost her job. Well, now today, Erica is talking to Fox News, and she's apologizing to the black community for her harsh racial words. As you guys know, I'm beefing with Fox right now, so if you guys want to watch her apology and what she had to say to Fox News, you guys can click the link down below. Let me be the first to say this. I feel like this Erica Escalante chick is full of shit. How dare you have the audacity to be racist when you yourself are a Mexican? I don't see how she can sit here and be racist and even let out a joke like that when you yourself and your culture are the butt of jokes to Donald Trump and many people in this country. So you should know better than anybody else how it feels to be made fun of. Now, I love how she's saying that her parents raised her better than that and her parents taught her to be careful on social media. It's funny that your parents didn't raise you well enough to know not to use words like nigger and not to associate black people with picking cotton. It is amazing to me how people say stupid shit on social media and they never realize the power of their words until after the fact, until after the backlash. And just like the dude who posted that picture of the little black boy and was making fun of him with all his friends on Facebook, I didn't feel bad for him and I damn sure don't feel bad for her. Whatever comes to her is what she gets. I feel like she's full of shit and she's only apologizing because of all the backlash that she got. Had people held her a hero, had people found it funny and her tweet went viral and people deemed it to be a positive thing, her ass would not be up here apologizing. Her ass would be gloating for being viral on social media. But because her post went viral and ended up blowing up in her face, now she wants to be apologetic. So from me and the black community, Erica, you get a big fuck you. Have a nice day.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Internet Radio for Smarter Originals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, welcome along. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under neo-colonial, neo-imperial, neo-classist, neo-liberal, neo-literal, neo-fascist, neo-theological, neo-racialist, homophobic, misogynist, governments, claim states, and closed-off societies. I mean, you know, that's a long fucking list, but, you know, we're trying to include everything, right? But this shout out goes to the persistent individuals and communities that are suffering and surviving with grace under severe anti-environmental oppression as well. We hear you. We see you. We recognize what's going on. I'm your host, the Angry Indian. And I'm the editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the people of the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, as well as our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my co-executive producer, master studio engineer, and best friend, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, coming straight at you from Everyman Studios in Multnomah Nation Territories. As usual, you know, I don't know exactly where to go with this, because we had a few things, right, Luke, that we were going to talk about. But one of the things I do know that I want to get into, and I should probably write to start off with this. Okay, so we got this brouhaha now that's going on over DACA, right? DACA, Dreamers, you know. So, you know, as usual, we got an acronym And then we have an emotional term, right? So, you know, we're talking about, you know, the delayed, whatever the fuck it is. You already know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're under a rock some fucking place in North America. I mean, people in France are talking about this. Do you understand? This is news in India that the Trump administration is willing to kick out all of these young people who were brought to the United States as youths, as juveniles, some as infants, some were born on the way in. I'm not kidding about this. You know, talk to some of the people that you know who might know some recent immigrants. And when I'm saying recent, I'm talking about, you know, in the past 25 years, right? Because we need to look at this in a broader scope in terms of immigration coming from south of Texas. And we all know that Texas was ripped off. So was New Mexico and Arizona and California. And we can have a discussion about that. And we should, right? Because the La Raza movement, which is separate from the Chicano movement. And by the way, Luke, does anybody still use Chicano? I mean, I see it, you know, in political writing, but does anybody use the term? I mean, the last time I mentioned it to some folks, they were actually pissy about it. Yeah. Yeah, well, you're not Mexican, right? So, yeah, you know, and then, you know, you got the whole pocho thing, right? You know, which is not cool. You know, it's like redneck, nigger, chink. You know, it's not a cool term. It's a pejorative. But see, Americanization. Yeah, see, this is what I want to get to. You know, like when I found out that Morrissey was popular with, that Morrissey. Stephen Patrick Morrissey, right? Is that his middle name, Pat? Isn't it? But the Manchester singer who used to be with the Smiths, and then he went solo, and then he did the same thing that David Gahan did from Depeche Mode. He moved to the States, moved to California. Yeah, right. Your husband and I were talking about that too. Patrick McGoohan, he moved to California too, right? Yeah. So you get these. Well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of Englishmen living in L.A. Yeah. So anyway, the point is, if you know any Brits, you can lose your Englishness quite rapidly by moving to California for some strange reason. And so he went to California and he bought, what was it, the house that Marilyn Monroe had lived in or what have you, or previously had, you know, some movie star. Because, you know, this is Morrissey, so he's got to be totally dramatic about the whole endeavor. And, because I used to like the Smiths, and I was really cool with Morrissey in the beginning, but then he started fucking around. I can't remember the name of the album. I want to say it's My Arsenal, Your Arsenal, whatever it is. I don't remember anymore. He started fucking around flirting with the National Front. I mean, to the point where the National Front used to show up at fucking gigs of his. You know, I mean, what was the National Front doing in support of a vegetarian? Because I don't think there was, veganism wasn't a big thing at that point, right? With vegetarianism, pacifism, right? We're talking about the National Front now. So the NF shows up to Morrissey shows and Morrissey club nights in Manchester, which, and in London, you know, which I don't know how that worked out or how that even got started, but we do know how it got started. You know, I mean, he is a poet, and like most poets, you know, they'll say something like, I like Mylène Farmer, right? And, you know, she's a French singer, but she was born in Quebec. So her French is Québécois, you know, very Québécois tinged. And her songs have terms that are really sometimes hard to understand. And it's not that they don't understand the word in French. It's just they don't understand the connotation because she's using it in terms of, you know, Québécois. And I know you don't give a fuck about this, but I'm trying to bring up some examples here to give you an understanding of where I'm going. Where I'm going with this is, what are you looking at, Luke? No, seriously. Where I'm going at this is, you know, we're trying to figure, or at least we throw our hands up and we say, oh, we don't understand why the National Front is showing up in Morrissey concerts. Well, yeah, we do if we pay attention. If we go beyond, well, I really like Morrison. He's the only voice out there that speaks to me. If you can get past the stargazing and get past the, well, what should I say? And 70% of the people are saying this and just regurgitating this shit. You would realize, was it Bengali in Trousers, I think the name of the song was. It's a catchy tune. But it talks about a cat getting the, you know, the shit beat out of him, you know, because of, well, hey, what? Right? He's a Bengali and shouldn't be doing what he's doing. So he started flirting with the National Front. And there's a famous photograph. And there's actually an article, if you look for it, right, you can find with the same two women. When they were skinheads back in the day, they're wearing Fred Perry and, you know, DMs, of course. Their braces. And I believe they had bleached. You don't even know what I'm talking about, right, Luke? They had bleached Levi's on. So, you know, they had the Chelsea haircut, all of that. I mean, they're not skinheads anymore. They're still friends, from what I saw. And, you know, they went through that period and they moved on with their lives, right? The point that I'm trying to say is he used this photo. And then he started, I think, fucking around with the other famous photo from the Oi album of the fucking Nick the Nazi. Right? I can't remember his last name right now, but, you know, Nick, Nazi Nick, yeah. Nazi, because I wrote about him in Efforts for Fascism, briefly. Because the leader of Screwdriver, right, Ian Stewart, he and Nazi Nick were close. I mean, they were as close could fucking be, but Nazi Nick was doing porn, gay porn, with Genesis P. Orridge. And, you know, and those of you who know who, what the fuck I'm talking about, yeah, somebody else, right, Luke, who went American, right? You know, another Englishman who moved to the States, changed genders, and is now totally Americanized. But in any case, we're talking about the extreme, extreme, extreme. And if you want to go into political shit, I mean, I don't know. What the fuck would you consider Genesis in terms of politics? I mean, other than anarchists. Because see, they all flirted with fascism to some degree. For those of you who, Lupe and I are trying to work this out because Lupe refuses to go on the microphone. Research, the journals put out there by V. Vale and, I forgot who the other co-author was. Well, that's how most people find out about this alternative in terms of, tattooing, body piercing, suspensions. You know, they were ripping off indigenous people. I mean, you want to talk about cultural appropriation. I don't know if they still use this term anymore, but the modern primitives, do they still use that? Oh, what am I talking about? Burning Man. That's what all of that came out of. Well, it had a lot to do with this series of journals, of alternative media journals that came out of, I think, San Francisco, that was detailing pretty much what was happening in San Francisco with white folks that were going to, say, Borneo and coming back with the tattoos from the various indigenous people out there, right? Hanky Panky, the tattoos over in Holland, had a lot to do with that too. And then we'll see Tattoo Magazine and stuff like that. My wife knows more about this than I do. Came out of those journals because I read them because they were part of the sociology bit that I was dealing with at the time in my studies, right? So that's how I came across them. And because I also knew people who were running around in these circles. But let me go back to Morrissey here. You know, people are just in this total, like, you know, confusion now about why Morrissey is considered a friend of the far right. And I'm saying, you know, you had that one song, Bengali in Trousers. That was the first one I was reading articles in, you know, New Music Express and some of the fan stuff about Morrissey and the Smiths, where people were like, what the fuck is he doing? You know, then he comes out with My Arsenal or whatever the fuck it is. And it's just like full on Nazi. So he uses the background or as a backdrop, the photograph of these two, skin girls. These two skin birds, right? Right? Doing his live shows. He actually started hanging around with, you know, cats that were, you know, football hooligans and, or they looked like they were football hooligans. I mean, those of us who are around, remember when Boy London somehow, you know, they took all of skinhead fashion, the fly jackets, the DMs, all of that, except for the baseball caps with Boy on them, right? Some of you know what the fuck I'm talking about. It was totally adopted by the harder end, I suppose, of the gay movement. So you had your biker wannabes or whatever the fuck who were copying Tom of Finland. Really good artist, Tom of Finland. If you're into pencil, line drawing, ink and paper, what have you, very good artist. But if you have an issue with homosexuality, then don't look at it. But in any case, you had that going on, and then they started copying skinheads. And see, and that, you know, shouldn't really surprise any goddamn buddy, because the whole skinhead thing is macho, right? It's machismo, working class machismo. Whatever the politics are of the particular individual that you're talking to or about, it doesn't really matter. It's machismo. So, of course, you know, gay men took on this shit in the UK, and then it spread over here to the States, and it was just really kind of weird. So where I'm going with this is take all of these elements that I just threw up, right, and let them come down like a day hoopage. Right? You know, let's get into, you know, let's channel the late David Bowie for a moment, okay? Let's do a, you know, decoupage of this and really look at it. Morrissey, put him at the center. No, actually, don't, you know, wherever he fell, you know, leave him there. But then start to connect the dots. Morrissey has never really come out and said anything. He's been playing with this shit for decades because, you know, women like him, the boys like him, the people who aren't sure like him, right? So, you know, and I'm not going to get into the alphabet soup of fucking definitions that are out there now because they're totally goddamn confusing. You know, fuck who you like, as long as they're willing. You know what I'm saying? You know, as long as everybody's cool and nobody's being coerced, do what the fuck you like. You know, these fucking labels are getting goddamn ridiculous. And I'm telling you, young people are getting confused with this shit. And it has a lot to do with white folks. Yeah, I'm going to take a tangent for a sec. Roll. It has a lot to do with white folks, man. You know, white society needs to categorize every fucking thing. It is not science. No, man. You know, that's just an expression of it. But, I mean, if you go back to Europe, humans were classified as non-humans, half a human, this shit. Right? I mean, yeah, everybody's got their own little racial bullshit. But when you know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know, Europeans wrote it the fuck down, made a science out of it later on and called it eugenics, 1800s. But before that, and I'm not including the Romans in this because, you know, some people want to argue that Italians are not really white. I know a lot of Italians that would make that argument who are not necessarily Sicilian. You know, and, you know, we can have a discussion about that. Yeah, and if you look at Roman society, I mean, you hear the white supremacists now get mad about this. These revisionist, stupid motherfuckers. They wanted that Rome was just white. It was just white, you know. No Arabs, no North Africans, no Jews. You know, no Asians, you know, that the empire didn't go anywhere, apparently. You know, they didn't bring anybody back. They brought back no goods, no slaves from these areas, no mixed kids with these soldiers and shit, returning generals. Nah, didn't happen. You know, Rome never went to Egypt. There was no contact with, you know, nah, didn't happen, right? No race mixing. None, didn't happen. I know a lot of black folks who are into Afrocentricity, revisionist Afrocentricity anyway. Meaning they're not really using African history, you know, they're using a fantasy of it, kind of like, you know, our confused white brothers here that I'm complaining about right now. You know, Cleopatra was not black. No, she was obviously brown. She was not pure. She was not a pure Greek, whatever the fuck that's supposed to be, but she came from the fucking house of Ptolemy, so she wasn't black. But, you know, the concept of what we understand today as being white, remember, didn't exist back then. It didn't exist back then. Yeah, you know, I would make the argument that she was a woman of color, but, you know, the concept of black, it didn't exist back then. You know, because, I mean, what? We're having a debate now over the new DNA evidence about evidence is being looked at anyway, just being peer-reviewed. In terms of the origins of the Greeks, their history says that they came from the Lebanon, right? You know, there's a DNA trace to Turkey or something going on. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. But where I'm trying to go with all of this is people kind of want to see what the fuck they want to see. And if you're really enamored by some shit, be it a celebrity, a family member, you know, yeah, I already said entertainer, but or an idea. Or a fucking desire. I mean, so many people do shit based on desire more than based on any, you know, real rational goddamn. And I'm not saying that desire is irrational. but it can get to be fucking irrational. Like, these white supremacists out here, I mean, a lot of these motherfuckers, I mean, this James Fields Jr. is 20 fucking years old, and he's already a goddamn, you know, threat to society, right? He's a fucking, you know, psychopath at 20. Because somehow it's gotten into his mind that if it's not all white, that it's all wrong. That he needs to see exactly himself. And he's not the only motherfucker. You know, MSNBC, you know, I really don't know what they're doing other than putting, you know, yeast on this shit. They did a, I couldn't even watch it. I had to turn it off. You know, and I don't watch television. But, you know, here's the internet. So I said, okay, let me see what the mainstream news is saying. You know, it can't all be Democracy Now, Truth Out, Alternate for mainstream lefty news. And then all of the European and Asian and South American papers I read through RSS feeds every day. You know, I mean, what is it? Castro was reading 1,000-some-odd papers a day through RSS. I'm doing about 400, 700 weekends sometimes, you know, reading these Sundays. You know, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And it's hard to do this because you're being bombarded with, one, a lot of fucking information. But you're being bombarded with a lot of information that doesn't mean any goddamn thing. I mean, I'm watching MSNBC and it's not talking about anything. I mean, they'll start off with whatever dumb shit Trump did. And they'll have, there was a Peter Alexander or something, you know, he'll explain, you know, or try to decipher what the fuck Trump said or did and how the GOP is reacting to it or with it. But the fucking alt-right is turning on him. You see this? Because he is trying to save face. Don't think, you know, I mean, yeah, this is actually where I was going to, right? Don't think that Trump somehow gives a fuck about these DACA people because he says he does at this moment. He's been insulting Mexicans all through this shit. He's been insulting Spanish-speaking people, Latino people, Hispanic quote-unquote people, because we know what that means, right? He's been, you know, dissing them the entire fucking campaign. And at the same fucking time he becomes president, he continues to fucking diss people. He dissed a goddamn Mexican judge. He can't judge me. He's Mexican. He can't fucking stand and judge me. I'm not a white supremacist and I love everybody, but he's a Mexican. He can't be in judging me. He's biased. He blames them for crimes, all of this kind of shit. Accuses, you know, all of these young people of being gang members. But where I'm going with this is, you still had a bunch of fucking people who call themselves the Dreamers, who argued with me on the streets, in coffee houses, and in private homes, that, you know, black people cause their own fucking problems, that Trump is going to get the United States correct, that he's not going to kick us out because there's almost a million of us and it would fuck up the economy if they kicked us out. Do you follow where I'm going with this? Now, I have to say this, of course, because people are going to take me out of context. I mean, we lost a hell of a lot of listeners when I had said that I don't believe in an open border policy. Right, Luke? 400 fucking people we lost on average, right? When we did that. And even though I explained why I said what I said, it didn't mean, you know, cut people off, don't let anybody in, you know, build a wall. I didn't say any goddamn thing like that. What I said was, politically speaking, you cannot have national integrity if you have open fucking borders. That's it. Why am I saying this shit? Look at Afghanistan. Look at Pakistan. Look at all of the fucking chaos that is going on in many of these countries because they don't have a real fucking clear defined border in some cases. You got what? Armenia? Who are they at war with now? Right? You know, we don't think about this shit unless you look at the European news. On how there's still border fucking disputes, man. That never fucking ended. I mean, you got Turks and Greeks that are still fucking beefing with each other today. Right? I know a mixed marriage between a Greek and a Turk. Their fucking relatives do not speak to them any goddamn more. We only think of Armenians now, you know, at least a lot of black folks, only because of Kim Kardashian. Yeah, I know, I'm not, I get accused, are you always clowning on, I'm not clowning on Kim. Kim wanted to be a motherfucking superstar. She put herself out there, right? The family has made money, that they have created an entire fucking industry now. You become a reality star personality, and they follow you to fuck around. She does 3 nude selfies a day, according to the Daily Mail UK, right? You know, I know people who fucking, they start their day off. You know, what did she take a picture of today? Or what are their children doing? And now that the Williams sister has, you know, her child, so everybody's all about this kid. And then there's Beyonce and JC and every fucking thing that they're doing and their kids. In the meantime, we can't understand why the Nazis are taking over the fucking country and the left is helping them out. And we can't even discuss this. I brought up Morrissey for a point. You can't get any more motherfucking pacifist, leftist, you know, pro-gay, okay to be gay, okay to be trans, all that bullshit than Morrissey. You can't be depressed. I mean, you can't have anything wrong with you. Morrissey, every fucking song that he's been about until he did this Nazi shit. And he did what a lot of fucking people are doing. You know, they get more and more conservative as they get older. I mean, there's a lot of fucking people I know that went back to church. You know, they all of a sudden became, you know, Opus Dei and all this kind of shit. Like, say, after their niece or nephew was born, and then, you know, mortality becomes more of a reality. You know, in the black community, a whole lot of people, they get sanctified. You know, they suck every motherfucking dick in town. And then all of a sudden, you know, it hits them that, you know, you too will fucking pass away one day. And then they just repent. Right? They repent. You know, and they forget and this, you know, this, yeah, just become complete motherfucking morons and, you know, confuse every fucking thing around them and everybody around them and try to confuse the young people around them, and it just becomes a morass of fucking bullshit. And, you know, people don't go any goddamn where, and, you know, they don't realize a lot of it is the psychological, cultural fucking, you know, self-victimization, because we've been taught this. I mean, come on, black folks. We're calling ourselves nigger, and we'll rather debate that more than motherfucking try to argue on why we don't have the same fucking freedoms and rights to motherfucking do for ourselves in terms of fucking collective independence. But you'll fight to define yourself as a nigger, but you will not fight to define yourself as an African. See, that's where I get fucking confused. And I brought up Morrissey for a point, because he developed a neo-Nazi following, and it started to slowly take over. You know, it's a significant part of his listenership. I'm not kidding about this. There are neo-Nazis that listen to Morrissey. Now they will be selective and not listen to his older shit, where they refer to him as, you know, sounding like a faggot and all this type of shit. Because I've had these conversations with these motherfuckers. This is how I know. They won't listen to his older stuff, but they listen to, say, Arsenal and some of his shit that they feel relates to them. They look at him as a stylish answer to what they're about. If you look at Richard Spencer, and if you look at Morrissey in his later fucking incarnations, what do you see? You think it was a mistake that they copied the fuck? Look at a lot of Morrissey's fucking haircuts, especially, was it Bone of Drag? Right? When he made his ode to the late James Dean. If you remember the video for Suede Head, because it's infamous. It's an exaggerated coif. That's all it is. All they're doing is wearing an exaggerated coif. The fact that it looks a little bit like the tight haircuts that the Germans were wearing in 1933, some of them anyway. I mean, that's just a coincidence. They're really not wearing it like that. They're not. You know, I mean, they just have a neat motherfucking haircut. That's all. That was typical of that motherfucking time period. But what is Morrissey all about but vintage? I just said he was doing an old to fucking James Dean, right? Look at the video. So, you know, everything about him is yesterday. You know, if you're into him at all, ever were, you know, the Victorian houses and, you know, all of these references to shit. You know, everything about him is yesterday. So it's no fucking surprise, because the white supremacist movement is about yesterday. And it's about a fantasy of yesterday. Right? It's about yesterday. Like you know, fucking Morrissey singing about, you know, criminals and shit. The last of the international playboys. So who is he talking about? Gangsters that have long fucking passed in the UK. The Cray brothers and what have you. Long gone. Long gone. Long gone. Right? So, what am I trying to get to here? He started slowly appealing to these motherfuckers because probably in his old age, he got a little more fucking racist. You know, well, a little more overtly racist. And I know a lot of people who have read that book by, what's it, Johnny Rogan? I know, I'm telling on myself that I know this much about that motherfucker. But, was it John Rogan book or Joe Rogan, whatever it was? No, not Joe Rogan, but Johnny Rogan, whatever I think his name was. That he used to have a black girlfriend, I guess, when he was 15, 16. Well, look, man, if you were listening to the New York Dolls as he was the leader of their fan club in the UK, right? Mock the Hoople and all that kind of shit. Yeah, you know, why wouldn't you have a black girlfriend? I mean, what the fuck? People are still shocked today that Johnny Cash had a black wife. His first wife. People are still shocked that John Denver was married to a black woman. And I'm like, why the fuck are you shocked? Chris Christopherson, I believe, had a couple of black girlfriends. I mean, why the fuck are you shocked? You know, you think it's all about Robert De Niro because of the Italian-African fucking connection? The Sicilian African connection, I should say, right? You know, I mean, come on. The point is that he started consciously fucking around with this imagery. First he started fucking around with it lyrically. Then he started adding the imagery. Then he started, you know, showing up in football club, jerseys and shit. And kickers, right? I mean, I was just like, wait a minute. You know, when did he start, you know, doing this shit? I mean, he's always put like band-aids on. Like he's actually had a fucking, you know, like a street fight when we all know with Morrissey, that ain't fucking happening. Boy George used to be a boxer and he's actually knocked out people, you know, when he was cross-dressing in his early days, you know, who gave him a motherfucking hard time. If I know Morrissey took up boxing later on. And I can't even remember the name of that album, but it's a really good album cover. I mean, it really is. But no, see, he was playing on mythology, and that's probably where it started too. But he was inspired by some of this shit, and then you know, fucking here it is, real neo-Nazis start showing up to his goddamn shows, and instead of you know telling them to fuck off, he starts talking about, well, what's wrong with being British? Then he starts waving around the Union Jack. Now, there's nothing wrong with being British, and there's nothing wrong with waving around a Union Jack. But if you're upset by the fact that tandoori has taken over and doner kebab and shit has taken over the fucking diet in London and in Manchester, then you need to motherfucking talk about the colonialism that motherfucking Britain did in India. You know, I know parsley soup and fucking crumpets and shit are kind of going to the wayside and it's fucked up. I agree. I agree with that. It's your food. But the fucking thing is, though, if you hadn't done in, you know, colonialism, this shit probably wouldn't have fucking happened. Real talk. You know, and it's the same thing with these dumb fucking Proud Boys or the American Legion. You know, I was going to say the American Legion, and I take that back. Not them. Now, there is a group calling themselves the American Legion, but it's not the motherfucking American Legion. Because, you know, that wouldn't be fair. They actually fought motherfucking Nazis. But, you know, but while we're at it, though, you know, hey, Loop, I didn't think about this. Why doesn't the American Legion make a fucking statement about these goddamn neo-Nazis and call out the group that's calling themselves the American Legion? Why don't they do that? I'm gonna start asking the vets that I know, you know, who are of, I don't know anyone anymore who's World War II. Most of us, like my last friend, he just passed, 90 some odd years old. Korean vets I can ask. But see, they were fighting communism, so, and it's hard to have a conversation with them, right? It's really hard to have a political conversation with some of them because, you know, they're bitter
I've yet to meet a Korean vet, an American Korean vet, that is not bitter. I mean, in many ways, that is the forgotten war. People do not talk about it. You know, the Korean War, the only time that the U.S. ever fucking faced China on the battlefield, and if they keep fucking around with this North Korea shit, it might happen again. Yeah. Now, I know I just went on a bunch of tangents, but what I'm trying to say is, and Max Weber has talked about this too, we make up our minds based on what we already know. Now, we're being hit with a bunch of stuff. So if you're a Morrissey fan and, you're pretty much, isolated, whatever the fuck, that's the, who draws, who become, devoted fucking fans of his. I mean, he's complained about this. I spoke to somebody that spoke to him who said, yeah, he's complained about this because he said people talk crazy, talk a lot of shit, and he feels responsible sometimes because he's been a fan, so he knows what it's like, but they take it too fucking far. He said that. I mean, people got mad with George Lucas recently for saying, look, Star Wars, frankly, is for 6 and 8 year olds or something to that effect, right? Don't quote me exactly because then, people get mad at me and stop listening to the show because of that shit. But let's just face it, Star Wars is fucking fantasy, but a lot of people take this shit to fucking extremes. I mean, how many people here in Portlandia, Luke, speak Klingon? Fluently. Klingon, man. I mean, there's real fucking languages out here, and I'm not knocking it if that's your interest. Do that. But you get my point. Just like somebody recently wrote a thing about the 911 truth a bit. Look, I have my questions about 911. We all should. Something was really funny and fuzzy about what the fuck happened in that case. For real. But I'm not going to sit here and say, did they leave a window open? Yeah, I think that happened. I really do. I think that happened. Do I think they actually planned it? No. Did they leave a window open? Probably. But I do have a hard time believing that Bin Laden was able to plan something like that. That's sophisticated. I have a hard time believing that. And the fact that he was visited by an agency spook when he was receiving dialysis treatment. And they either didn't take him into custody, have him renditioned, or motherfucking murked. I find that to be somewhat questionable. And the fact, the mother of all fucking facts, really. That he was, in Pakistan. About a mile away, a kilometer away from a fucking military base. And the Pakistani government obviously knew where the fuck he was this whole time. He had been living there for however long. The entire neighborhood. I forgot what was it, the French or the Italians. They said, yeah, they spoke to people in the neighborhood. They said everybody fucking knew he was there. So there's no human intel. You're going to tell me that nobody fucking knew, that the military didn't know this? I don't believe that. So yeah, there's something funny about all of this. And they need Pakistan right now. Right, so they're not going to go against it. We were just talking about Lupe's husband. I was just talking about the Lockerbie case, because there are a lot of people who do not believe that the Libyans were behind it. I'm one of them. The more you know about it, and the more you know about the background, it doesn't make any sense that Libya would have anything to do with that. It would just be suicide. But then at the same time, look at who we're talking about as the leader, Muammar Gaddafi. And I know a lot of black revolutionaries in the States don't like to hear this shit, but and they quote the same thing that's been said by the Nation of Islam over and over the fuck again. He took a $10 million project for water with his own money and got this going and really improved the lives of the people in that area, in terms of disease and other hygiene concerns. I'm not knocking Gaddafi. Gaddafi wanted to be a revolutionary. He went, with his military coup out to be a revolutionary. But we also fucking know that, like any other goddamn human being, ego can fuck you up. Ego will fuck you up. Pride cometh before a fall. Right? Pride cometh before a motherfucking fall, man. And, whether it's Trump, Hitler, Mussolini, fucking Stalin, if we really want to go back far enough in terms of Russia, Lenin to a large degree, because he felt that nobody else could handle the shit anyway, perhaps except for Trotsky, right? Yeah, I mean, you got to understand something and be willing to say that the people that you admire, the people that you love, that sometimes they make decisions based on personal shit where they're not fucking thinking about you. In matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, they're not thinking about you at all. You know, that's one of the reasons why when it comes to the idea of a spiritual being and all this kind of shit, I have a hard time with it. Now, if you want to talk about energy or something, you know, without being too fucking metaphysical, now we can have a discussion. Okay, now we can have discussion. Because, you know, I'm into physics and shit, and, you know, I'm on a thing right now that's annoying the fuck out of my wife, where, you know, there's a theory coming out of Brazil. Well, from a professor from Brazil and one from Switzerland, that the speed of light, as it is now, is probably slower. And what I mean by that is that when things first started, right, you know, the theoretical Big Bang. Now, there's a twist to this. In that theoretical Big Bang, right, the speed of light was faster. Somewhat like how you throw a ball or any projectile, and it starts to, it has a range. It starts to slow down, you know, takes the curvature because of gravity, but it starts to slow down. Now, remember, or at least we're told, theoretically anyway, or at least we were told, at least when I was in school, that, you know, there's nothing in what we, how we define space, you know, away from this planet, in between any other, you know, body. That there's no gravity unless something, you know, bends or pushes you out of the way. Yeah, I mean, I can really get into time, space, and space-time, but that's not where I'm trying to go with this. My point is that, you know, more than likely, the speed of light as it is now is slower than when things first started. And one of the things about this is when we look at black holes, it's quite possible that this universe as we understand it might be an incarnation of a, in other words, this might be either the second, third, or maybe 1,800th and 1,000,000th motherfucking turn at this shit. That the argument is now that space actually is finite. Did I lose you just there? I'm sorry. But that's where I'm at now. And it's really fucking annoying my wife because she's not interested in this shit. And, you know, what, Luke? No, you know, we know what we know. And we pay attention to what we pay attention to because of what we're interested in. Now, you got some people, they're only interested, you know, they have the fucking, you know, intellectualism where they can only concentrate on something for about 4 or 5 fucking seconds, right? You know, they have all of the inquisitive mentality of a gnat. They don't think about any goddamn thing. You know, all they think about is desire and pleasure outside of food, defecation, and sleep. And physical contact with other human beings because we are social beings. Outside of that, a lot of fellas, and I'm just, you know, giving an example now, but we know what I'm talking about here. You know, like this man cave, you know, one of the stupidest goddamn terms I've ever fucking heard of. It's stupid. I mean, what is this supposed to imply? Caveman or something? Yeah, right? I mean, does your husband have one? No, because he's not he's not walking around swinging his balls all over the fucking place. He's a nice guy. You know what I'm saying? He's a civilized motherfucking man. No, but this other bullshit, you know, this man cave thing, it's like, what are you trying to harken back into? You know, total ignorance? That's what it sounds like to me. You know, it's like, you know, I don't agree with a lot of her work, but the late Frances Cress Welsing, didn't she point out that black men call their homes cribs? Didn't she point out that black men have a habit of calling their buddies boys? And their woman, mama? I mean, I know I do. My father did. Well, my fathers did, right? Right? So, you know, it's like, what the fuck? Your language has a lot to do, whether you're conscious of it or not. Or not. And no, we didn't necessarily create these terms. You know, these are things that we heard that we've adopted and we use. But we use unconsciously. And what are we implying? What are we cementing in our psychically to ourselves? that we're not fucking grown men, that we're not fully fucking grown. And if an entertainer, a celebrity that we respect, that has authority of some sort, that we admire, want to aspire to, right? You got Jay-Z out here talking about, well, you know, my presence is charity. That's what he said. I'm not putting words in his mouth. That's what he said. That's what he said. He did a Charles Barkley right there, right? That's what he said. Oh, what did Charles Barkley say? I'm my own motherfucker. I'm not a role model. I'm a 90s nigga, right? So, we will look at a celebrity in terms of, say, Morrissey, and will not, you know, because we want to see him one way, the way he first came out. First impressions matter. The way he first came out. Well, he'll slip in some racist bullshit every now and again, and he gets a pass for it because, well, you know, he's Morrissey. How could he possibly be down with this type of shit? But if he's not speaking against it, you know, other than saying, oh, it's ridiculous to say I'm a racist. Well, if it's ridiculous to say you're a racist, then why are you catering to the fucking racist? Trump says all the time, oh, I love the dreamers. I love these people. But they're all in gangs. They rape and steal. And they take away American jobs. And we got to get them the fuck out of here. And we need to build a wall to keep them the fuck out of here. But I love them. I love them all. Right? I mean, of course he's going to say that. What is he going to say? Oh, yeah, well, I'm running a racial program here where we're going to get rid of all of these motherfucking people so that white people can take over their jobs and not have to see them when they get out of bed and go to work in the morning. And we don't have to have all these Spanish street signs and all that kind of shit. We'll keep a few of them for novelty. I mean, this is the third time this has happened. They put Mexicans on trains twice and they just pick people up off the street, man. People who were fucking born here and sent them to different towns in Mexico that they didn't even fucking come from. The Palmer raids did that shit. They just took all of these Italians. Well, there weren't too many times at that time, but all of these Russians, Czechs, Italians, French people, right? Anyone from Eastern Europe that they considered to be a political fucking problem. There was some English nationalists that were in there too. Well, when I say national, I'm talking about, you know, British citizens that were living in the States at that time. For being anarchists, for being communists, for being socialists of varying, you know, philosophies. They just picked them all up in the raids and shipped them all out to Russia, whether they came from Russia or not. What did they do to the Japanese? Do we really have to have a refresher about this? I guess we do, because I speak to young people who do not know anything about the Japanese internment of a Japanese American fucking citizens who, where their sons were then dragged away and sent to fight Japanese in the South Pacific. And when they came back, they had lost their farms, they lost all of their fucking businesses. And what happened? The Japanese community, the Nisei, right? No, am I talking about the Nisei? No. Sorry, the Nisei is the second generation. But some of them too. But that first generation that survived the internment camps and survived World War II, if you ask them today, ask their families today, why? Because I've had these goddamn discussions. They, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, they are politically conservative. They think that black people need to get a fucking job. They need to stop fucking complaining. They point to their own fucking internment as that they can succeed if they just let it go, connect with their fucking community, and just move on. And there was one particular Japanese person who went through this shit, Robert Iga. Now, those who are into martial arts know who I'm talking about, because he was one of the most important trainers in physical combat for the LAPD. I believe it was during the 80s, and I don't know if he's still alive because he was pretty up in age when that happened. But he was a patrolman during the race riots that went down in L.A. during the 60s. He was not sympathetic to black people. Now, having said that, that does not mean that every Japanese person was of this politic. Yuri Koshimai, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. If I'm not, please forgive me. I don't have her name right here in front of me. But her and her husband were Japanese people. And they lived in Harlem and worked with Malcolm X. When you see the photograph of Malcolm X dying after being blown away in the fucking chest on that stage, my black men, by the way, who were given an open door by the New York City Police Department, one can assume. And COINTELPRO, one can assume. Right? To blow him the fuck away. Well, the woman whose head, her lap, that was her. That woman was Japanese. And she passed away very recently. And if you don't know her story, you should. So obviously, I mean, she connected him with Japanese democracy activists from Japan. There's a photograph of him sitting on the floor conversing with these people. So, you know, you got to understand something. It's not the ethnicity. You know, it's who you're dealing with as an individual. But at the same time, people have their connections to their community, and they will often not take a risk of being a dissident from their community. I've had relationships break up with me because of this. Because someone's like, you know, I can't continue to see you. You know, I got to see somebody from my own group, my parents, my friends. You know, they're all coming down on me. And that has happened to me as a young person and as a fucking adult. Where, you know, I can't date you anymore because, you know, you're not this, you're not, you know, you're not whatever. And it's happened with black folks too. You know, I'm not dark enough. My features, you know, like, what is he mixed with? Right? I want black children. I want black grandchildren. So, you know, it goes around the fucking bubble with this bullshit. And just saying that is ignorance isn't saying any fucking thing. You know, it becomes an excuse that doesn't mean anything. You know, these fuckers that are going out here, they're not really ignorant. They made a decision to have these fucking opinions. Because we have a society now where white men are feeling jeopardized. Because if they're not in complete power, then, well, fuck, the world is going to fall. And there's a lot of people of color who agree with them. And I'm not going to say that I'm outside of this, because this is why I can explain this shit to you. I've never lied to anybody. You know, you can hear the Uncle Tom in my motherfucking voice. I grew up in the fucking ghetto, but I've told you, because I'm fucking mixed, people treated me like shit. And when I ended up getting a school assignment outside of that, I realized that there was another fucking world. When I went to school with white people, I realized that, you know, I wasn't stuck in the fucking ghetto. That I was going to have to, you know, scratch and claw my motherfucking way out. But part of my, you know, willingness to want more was, one, I want more. I want to learn everything. I want to see the fucking world. I want it all. I have every fucking right as a human being to fucking do what I'm capable of, where I can, you know, intellectually bring myself. But hey, you know, you got a lot of folks, and this is what I heard in the house. Who the fuck do you think you are? By using words like ludicrous. Who the fuck do you think you are if you mention a book or a writer or a concept or a scientific term that they don't know? You know, you're just like, who the fuck do you think you are? You're black. You're a nigger. This is what I was told by family. This is what I was told by neighbors. This is what I was told by my fucking contemporaries. Why are you reading all the time? Why would you go see a foreign film? Why would you want to eat Japanese food? Now, I'm making a generalization, but it fucking exists. You think it doesn't exist in pockets here around the country? You don't think it doesn't exist with white people in Appalachia? Of course it fucking exists. The point is, think like me, or I will fucking reject you. We're social beings. We don't want to be cut off from our group. So here you have a lot of white males who have been raised in the history here to rule. You're supposed to rule every fucking thing. And if you look at the people who have the worst motherfucking attitudes about this, they don't have any goddamn thing. How many of those fuckers are overweight? How many of them are still living with their fucking parents? How many of them are still living in an attic in a fucking garage? How many of them, I mean, like the ones that lost their jobs, they were all working in fast food. They were all working. I'm not knocking that. A job is a fucking job. But see, their attitude is, they're white males, they're intelligent, And that's one of the things I wanted to point out. A lot of these motherfuckers are not stupid. This is what I'm saying. It's a choice. It's a choice. They're not stupid. They're allowing desire to drive them to a fucking point where I will read these fucking history things and I will twist them. They don't really believe this shit. Do you really fucking think that Mike Cernovich believes what the fuck he's writing about misogyny, about racism, about Pizzagate? He doesn't believe any of this shit. But he's willing to turn over history. He's willing to turn over logic so that he can be on top, so that he can get women and have them serve him as sexual slaves, as physical fucking slaves, so that he can walk down the street and white people will put their heads back into the laughing barrels. If you listen to all of these motherfuckers, they are intelligent, and that's the fucking problem. They have no fucking intellectual discipline. So this is why they have no problem putting out fake fucking news. Chaos theory. Don't think that this shit isn't premeditated. But just like every fucking thing else that goes on, you have what are called unintended goddamn consequences. You fuck around and start a goddamn motion, and you can't control what the fuck you started. Let's go down to brass tacks here, where a lot of black folks can talk about. We got a civil war the fuck going on. I don't know how bad it is now, because it's not my particular point of interest, but we got a civil war going on. It's been going on for decades in the black community between the Crips and the fucking Bloods. Now, this shit started off as an offshoot of the Black, Panther Party for self-defense. That's what the Crips was supposed to be about. And I don't remember what the acronym is supposed to stand for. You can look it up. Go to your Wikipedia, look it up. But it was supposed to be a black revolutionary group that was going to continue what the Black Panthers had started after the Black Panthers were crushed by the COINTELPRO program. Again, don't believe me. Look it up. But they tried to do what Huey Newton tried to do. This is why I said when I talked about that a few episodes back, this shit was not an original idea. A lot of fuckers have talked about revolutionary, we're going to, take over the drug dealing, and then we'll funnel those funds into the revolution. But of course, in order to do that, you got to sell dope to your own fucking people, because you're not selling dope to white folks. And you weren't going to sell dope to Latinos, because they got their own motherfucking dope networks. And always had. They didn't need you for that shit. So, it's a bullshit idea that always ends up going wrong. One of the reasons, like I just said, you end up selling the fucking product to your own goddamn people, which totally undermines what the fuck it is you're claiming you're trying to do. And if you can't see that from the beginning, then what kind of a fucking revolutionary are you? You're revolutionary in bullshit only, right? The River Niger was a play based on exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. But because, what else happens? The money starts to get good. Then it starts to get good to certain individuals who don't want to put that shit into the revolution. They want to put that shit into their pockets or their personal fucking projects. So what happens? They don't stop dealing drugs. And that's what happened with the fucking Crips. That's what happened with the Crips. So they started taking over the fucking drug traffic. They started expanding the drug traffic. They had initially started some breakfast programs and things like that, education programs. But it only lasted for about 8 months. 6 to 8 months. And then that shit went by the wayside, and drugs became the number one fucking thing. It was that quick. The Bloods developed. Go look at the history from the LAPD. Look at the history from people, black people who were there. There's a documentary called Crips and Bloods. I suggest that you watch it. And you'll see, the Bloods developed as rival fucking drug dealers. They didn't come in with any political ideas and, like the FARC, right? Lose their way. At least the FARC held on to their politics to some fucking degree, but yeah, they dealt drugs. And their thing was, consider the two differences in these situations. the black contingent, I'm talking about in the U.S., was going to sell dope to black people in the fucking U.S., their own community. The way the FARC was looking at it, the fucking cocaine and all that bullshit goes up to El Norte. It's going to the States. And to Europe. It's not fucking up their community. Because the drug problem is not in South America. The drug problem is in North America. So, you know, not understanding politics, not understanding revolutionary movements as examples, looking to see who was successful, how were they successful, how did it fit into the geopolitical, you know, current at the time, what was relevant today, what would be relevant tomorrow. No. See where revolutions go wrong, see where maybe we made mistakes, see where we went wrong, because, see, nobody wants to be self-critical. Blame somebody else, blame white people. You know, we never say to ourselves, okay, these other groups got this shit. Why is it different for us? Well, it's because we're black. Okay, that's part of it. But why are we really fucking being held back? What's the difference between us and them? Besides the historical, where the black man is always on the bottom and will be on the bottom, and it's the bottom around the world. Understood, granted, codified. The bottom line is, knowing this, what the fuck do you do now? You just got intelligence on what you can do. You just identified the barriers. You just identified the flanks. What do you do? Now, you know, as an example of what I'm talking about and why I told you, you know, I've mentioned Robespierre brothers and shit, why I'm not down with revolutions anymore. And I've, you know, told you about my criticisms of the Castro takeover. But, you know, really, look at the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement had a good fucking thing going. And we now also know that there were assassination attempts. Look at whowhatwhy.com and you see all the documentation. Naomi Klein wrote about this as well. And they weren't the only ones. It's just that, you know, the Times, I don't think, would ever got into it. But, you know, the Bureau admitted, and I'm talking about the Bureau, the Federal Bureau of I was going to say intimidation, but the Federal Bureau of Investigation here in the States, Hoover's outfit. Yeah, and we can talk about Hoover all the fuck day long, especially in terms of COINTELPRO and a whole bunch of other things. But the bottom line is, you know, things can start off one way, and you can lose control of this shit. Because, I mean, what happened with Christianity, goddamn? Here you have a religion, you know, a Jewish religion that's all about Jews, that then becomes this world religion, and then starts stomping all the other motherfucking religions and shit once Constantine gives them fucking political power. Right? How does a Jewish, you know, religion, or a cult anyway, based on a Jew, then turn around in Europe and become an excuse for killing Jews? Do you think that is what Jesus El Cristo had in mind? I don't fucking think so. Do you think that, I mean, and if there are neo-Nazis out there and black supremacists like Michael the Black Man, you know, the Trump supporter, who would tell you that is exactly what he had planned? And then, you know, they'll turn around and use this as this craziness as a justification for the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Even though anybody can do the goddamn research, it takes all of 6 minutes to find out that this is a word for word fucking copy, a plagiarism of a French medieval play. It doesn't matter. It caters to your bullshit idea. I mean, I could say hatred, but that's too easy. I know people that hate Jews and don't know any fucking Jews. Don't know one Jew. Have never, knowingly met a Jew. Don't even realize they're Jews of different colors and ethnicities and backgrounds. Know nothing about the religion. Know nothing about the culture. They know about Israel. And they know what they're told about Israel. I mean, there was some young people that said to me, and it wasn't really hard to convince them otherwise, because the facts are out there. They were convinced that Palestine invaded Israel in 1967. Let me repeat that. They're in their 20s. They were convinced that Palestine invaded Israel in 1967. Now, where the fuck did they get that idea? You know, I mean, there's some crazy fucking ideas out there. Not because these people really believe this shit. No, I don't believe that people really believe their bullshit. No. No, I don't. I believe that people know that they're pushing bullshit. That is why they argue with you. That is why they shout you down. That is why they fucking will kill you if you continue to tell them that what they're saying is hogwash. People get violent when you tell them that what they stand on. They call it belief, but it's not belief, it's what they stand on. Because, you know, if Christians and Muslims and all these other, you know, Abrahamic beliefs, if they know that they're going to heaven, then they should never fear death. Right? There should be no such thing then as a Christian fucking hospital. Because if you're sick, it's the will of God. If you die, it's the will of God. If you suffer with an ongoing chronic fucking ailment, it's the will of God. Maybe your faith is bad. Isn't that what Oprah Winfrey said? I'm rich because I have faith. God put me up here. All the, you know, I hate it when black entertainers do that shit. Oh, well, you know, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for God. Praise God. Even when they go to court, they're like, oh, you know, God is going to make sure I get everything I deserve. What the fuck are you talking about? Standing by the window. What are you talking about? Malcolm said this very clearly, but see, we like to pick and choose, Malcolm. We like to pick and choose all of this. Malcolm said, if the Klan is fucking hanging you up from a goddamn rope, you're calling for God, they're calling for God. Whose side is God? This was a devout Muslim who was not a fool, who understood that these are not literal stories. Remember, Malcolm used to be an atheist. He had no time for religion. But why did he adopt the doctrine of the Nation of Islam? Because he didn't have a doctrine before that. He didn't have a real fucking grounding before that. It gave him a reference point. Not that he really believed in all of this shit. It gave him a reference point. It also gave him an emotional, safe, comfortable place to be. I was raised to be religious. I tried hard, but I can't believe in something I don't fucking see. I can't believe in something that's talking about, well, you know, goodness and love and all this shit, and I'm watching people who claim to be religious hurt each other all the fucking time. Hurt other people all the fucking time. And then when shit goes wrong, God will take care of it. God will see us through. God will do this. God will do that. It's bullshit. We say that because we don't know what the fuck else to say. How many times do you hear people say, oh my God, oh my God, because it's an expression. It doesn't mean anything. So, you know, here's the Morrissey followers who get angry at me for pointing out that he's fucking around with fascism, and obviously he's agreeing with this shit. You know, I mean, the Smiths were an Irish band out of Manchester. Why were they an Irish band out of Manchester? Well, we like to work with people who are like ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, I still hear fucking people from England refer to the Beatles as four mixed from fucking Merseyside. You know, and Morrissey has talked at various points, and Johnny Marr to a lesser degree. I've read things where, yeah, you know, they were Irish and people didn't treat them very well in Manchester. So, you know, Manchester's mixed and shit like the rest of Britain. I mean, yeah, you know, there's brothers and sisters in Wales. You know, I know it's hard for a lot of people here who are black to realize that, but there's black folks in Moscow. There's black people everywhere, you know. But the bottom fucking line is racism exists. Ethnic bullshit exists. And being Irish, they were outsiders. And that has a lot to do with some of the fucking songs that they sung and the fact that they hung out with each other, this, that, and the other. So people will assume that, you know, why was somebody like that, especially somebody who plays around with the sexuality fucking question, why would they be a Nazi? Why not? Michael Kooten, the fucking biggest Nazi leader, neo-Nazi leader in Europe. When he died? Sometime in the 90s? He was gay. It doesn't mean that he was in the closet about it. And I just remembered his name, Nicky Crane. Nicky fucking Crane. I believe he was really Italian, but he called himself Crane, right? Or he took that last name. He used that as the last name. Yeah. And I bring up ethnic Italian because depending on who you speak to, sometimes they're white, sometimes they're not. But the bottom fucking line was Nazi Nicky Crane, the poster boy for the oil movement, which was supposed to be against a lot of this shit. You know, and then you have what? The Foreskins used to fucking play along with that bullshit too. You know, even though they were apolitical as individuals, a couple of the singers were fucking bigoted. But didn't one of their bass players go over the screwdriver? Eventually? Or have been back and forth between both bands? And say, and yeah, you can be, Hoxton Tom, I believe they used to call him. I can't remember his full name. And like I said, you know, if you have to look all this stuff up to know what I'm talking about. But if you're British, you know what I'm talking about. Hoxton Tom, the suede, you know, he was apolitical, but he could be like that because he's white. So it wasn't as if, you know, the National Front was necessarily going to come after him unless he got in their fucking way. So, you know, you can be in a band with bigots and be objective if they're not coming after you. And it's the same thing with a lot of white people who follow Morrissey. He's not talking about them. He's not talking about go beat up gay people and shit. So they don't say anything. They're not the intended victims. So, you know, why should they fucking care? There's no urgency. There's no relevance for them. So they don't give a fuck. But they're confused when people ask questions. Because it's like, well, I see a Nazi paraphernalia up and down here. Or shit that goes along with fucking white nationalism. But somehow you've been a follower of his for more than 15, 16 years. But you don't. Because it doesn't mean anything to you. Because you're not the fucking victim. I mean, look at what's going on here in the States. This is one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up. We've had two white people killed here in Portland. Trying to defend two women of color from a fucking neo-Nazi. Jeremy Christian, thank you, Luke, right? No urgency other than the people who already were anti-racist in Portland. I mean, we had a fucking police, we got police officials here that are neo-Nazis. And they're supported by the fucking system here. So, you know, why are we surprised? Why are we surprised that we can have, Kessler? No, not Kessler. Or was that his name? Yeah, I don't even remember right now because I don't have the data in front of me. Putting up neo-Nazi posters in the fucking parks around here. We got neo-Nazi groups all over this goddamn city. But they're worried about the alt-right, you know. Got to worry about them because they're white kids that are willing to fucking fight for black people. Because, you know, when that shit went down in Charlottesville, everybody who was in that church, all of the black ministers that were in that fucking church, and all of the activists that were working with them from Black Lives Matter said that the fucking Nazis with their fucking, they should have just had pitchforks with their goddamn torches had stormed the church in full view of the fucking police and campus security. They stormed the church and the only barrier, the only defense they had was Antifa. But the Justice Department is playing with the idea of marking these motherfuckers as terrorists. Now, who's putting up these petitions? Neo-Nazis and white people who are neo-fucking and paleo-fucking conservative. Why are they doing this? Do they really believe that the anti-fascist and anti-racist and Black Lives Matter protesters and anti-police brutality protesters are really terrorists? No, they don't believe that they're really terrorists. You're an idiot if you think that they believe that they're really terrorists. They're using this shit as a tactic to turn the motherfucking narrative and demonize what they consider to be their fucking enemies. They don't believe it. They're pushing it because they know that it's a tactic that can work. You accuse the other fucking side of violence, even though you're doing the fucking violence. We saw this with Mussolini. We saw this with Hitler. We saw this in Spain with Franco. We saw this in Greece. We saw this in Portugal. We saw this in Belgium. We saw this in Chile. We saw this in Uruguay, Paraguay. We saw this in Argentina. We saw this in the Philippines. The fuck are you talking about? Under communism, we saw this in Vietnam. We saw this in Cambodia. We saw this in China. We saw this in North Korea. So what the fuck are you talking about? You know, Unicorn Riot, and god damn it, if you want to fucking check out anybody that's doing some fucking serious ass research on this shit, is unicornfuckingriot.com. Go there. Now. Unicorn fucking Riot is tearing this shit apart. They're tearing it apart. I cited them in my goddamn report. They're tearing this up. They have found direct fucking quotes from the people organizing this shit that they were going to use vehicles to kill people. Why? Because you got Republicans out here to pass fucking laws and ordinances that if you hit a protester, nothing can happen to you. You can't be charged. And then you have police officers that one up in Washington State talking about all lives splatter. Oh, we apologize for him putting that up. Why isn't he being brought up on charges for encouraging terrorism? Whenever a Muslim runs a vehicle into a crowd of people, it's terrorism. When white people do it to activists, hey, it just happens, right? Heather Hare was murdered. A white woman was killed during a terrorist attack in Charlottesville. But the people there's so much goddamn film of them attacking people, it's not fucking funny. Another motherfucker shoots at a black man, puts his gun in his holster right in front of cops and just keeps fucking walking. They go after him later because the fucking media was forced to say, this is what's happening. And the police aren't doing anything. White supremacists are allowed to do what the fuck they want. We just had a woman here yesterday, an elder. An elder knocked the fuck down by riot police, stomped on by riot police, bloodied by riot police. She is arrested. She is charged. Remember the Marine? The young Marine that got fucked up at the protest by the incendiary thing that the police threw? And then they threw a second one when people went to his assistance? He has permanent brain damage behind that. He was charged. He was charged. Don't you remember the other protests with Occupy? Right? Because I mentioned Occupy earlier. Didn't finish what I was going to say. But that cop, he went and just sprayed into their faces. They weren't doing anything. They were sitting there. Sprayed them right in their fucking faces. He's getting disability because he was traumatized by the event. He's getting disability. And then what I'm talking about with the woman, the elder who got knocked down by the cops, they're protesting because a cop shot a motherfucker 5 times, lied on official paperwork in his testimony, in his affidavit actually, that the man had a gun. He is on fucking video planting a weapon on the victim. The victim did not have a gun. He had an AR-15 fucking assault rifle that he was not authorized to have on him. He didn't use that, but he did use his fucking pistol. And then he plants a weapon on this man. The judge admits in his written decision that he lied about the man having the gun, that he planted the fucking gun on. It's in the written fucking decision that the only DNA found on the fucking pistol in question was from the officer in question. And lest I forget, because Lupe is reminding me, he also fucking is on record because he's on video audio saying to his dispatch that we're going to fucking kill this guy. Before he runs up and murders this man and then tries to fucking frame him by dropping a pistol. The court admitted that he lied about every guy, that he threatened this motherfucker, that he lied about why he needed to shoot him, and that the only fucking DNA on the pistol in question was from him. And that he's on video reaching for something in a duffel bag in his fucking patrol car, which is where he had this extra weapon that we have to assume all fucking patrol cars roll around with then. Drops it. And before the other vehicles can approach, he and his partner have their lot. They formulate their fucking lot. And the judge says, well, even though he lied about all of this and had no reason to have such an assault weapon, all of this shit pointing to aggressive goddamn behavior, he didn't do anything wrong enough that this needs to be criminal charges. But if you want to get on him for having the AR-15 when he shouldn't have had, that can come up at a later date, but it's not related to this. AboriginalWriter.wordpress.com. That's my personal blog. Go look at it because I have the story there. I have the fucking, written decision of the judge because he forego a jury trial, his right to a jury trial, and let the judge make a decision. He let the judge decide. And the judge decided that even though you're a lying son of a bitch, I can't do anything to you. You're a cop. I'm just going to have to let this go. Fuck the fact that this kid is black. And then what's the other damning thing? What's the other damning thing? I mean, even my wife, you know, Ms. Angry Indian, is still kind of in denial about a lot of this shit. But, you know, the fucking judge says that it is not unreasonable for a police officer to assume that an urban drug dealer, urban, meaning black, that a black drug dealer wouldn't have a gun. So he was right to shoot him, but he wasn't right to plant the gun on him. But because he did, you know, assume correctly that maybe he had a gun and shot because he thought that he had a gun. Well, fuck, you know, I can't hold them responsible for that, even though it was kind of fucked up that he did threaten to kill the guy before he actually ran into him and that he tried to frame him and, you know, set him up that, yeah, but, you know, I can't do anything because black lives don't motherfucking matter. Now, why did that happen? Why did I mention Morrissey? Why did I bring up all the shit that I did? Because people love Morrissey, so, you know, they don't want to see any wrong. Hey, Abby, you can't hate my grandfather. You know, I love him. He's my grandfather. He's a Nazi, but he's my grandfather. Fuck you. He's my grandfather. He told me he's a Nazi. Well, you can't hate him. Yeah, we're not friends anymore. Because that fuck you to me when your granddad admits that he's a fucking admirer of Hitler. And flat out told me that I wasn't human enough. And that he wondered why the family let me in the fucking house. And I took all that shit because it wasn't my house and this guy was supposed to be a fucking friend of mine. But see, I didn't even say anything about his granddad when we got outside. He brought it up because he knew his granddad was fucked up. He knew that his grandfather was a bigoted, wrong son of a bitch. And he got defensive. So his way of fucking dealing with it psychologically was to attack me. You know, don't hate him. I didn't say a goddamn word. I didn't get a chance to say any fucking thing about hating this motherfucking, you know, old, hateful bastard. I didn't get a chance to say any goddamn thing. People know when they're wrong. People know when they're lying. People know when they're trying to fucking cheat others. People know that when they're doing something, they're hurting other fucking people. Don't tell me that the fucking people who follow Trump on Twitter and are so keen on him did not know that he was supported by David Duke and the Klan and these fucking neo-Nazis. Because see, my attitude is if you're going to pop some shit like that, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be friends. Maybe we should never talk ever again. Because when the shit gets bad, I know not to run to your house for fucking assistance. I know not to ask you for fucking help. Because you're a white person that is cool with white power, provided you don't have to do anything to maintain it. Provided you don't get any of the negative fucking benefits. Provided that you can get all of the fucking leeway that comes along with it without having to pay a fucking price. See, that's what racism is all about. It's not about hating any fucking buddy. That's bigotry. That's prejudice. Racism is using the power of these goddamn isms to get your fucking way. Remember, we can even link to this, Luke. Remember the black postman someplace? And the woman says to him, because she had turned over some registered mail, and once you give it to the guy, it's federal, right? It's federal property. He can't give it back to you. That's the whole point of having this shit registered fucking mail. Well, anyway, she got mad and threatened to turn the white people on him. She said that. I will turn all of these white people against you. And he's like, why would you do that to me? After she assaulted him. She slapped him because he wouldn't give her this shit back. He can't. He could fucking be brought up on federal fucking charges, let alone losing his job. But hang on, right? So she slaps the shit out of him. He films this fucking racist bullshit. He films the fucking assault. He films her threatening to turn the white community, her neighbors, against him and says, why would you do that? I mean, she said, because I can. She said, because I can. So, of course, files a written motherfucking report on what happens. And guess what? He got fucking fired. He got fucking fired. And guess what? There was no black support for him in terms of him getting his fucking job back. The black community did not fucking back him. Why? Because we were not fucking organized. We're not fucking organized. You hear all these black power motherfuckers, 6, 17 guys sitting in a room just reinforcing each other's bullshit, can't do nothing, and will never go anywhere because they don't fucking want to learn any goddamn thing. They read the books that they want to read, which is just, you know, a lot of times mimeographed, copy bullshit, you know, from you know, like, you know, bits and pieces from Sun Tzu's The Art of War, and you know, a little bit of Elijah Muhammad, and a little bit of, you know, Father Divine and Sweet Daddy Grace, and a little bit of, you know, one of these, you know, bays that's running a fucking temple, or the New Ayyubi, you know, I mean, any kind of, you know, black folks are still going in the same fucking circles. And that's why Malcolm X is dead, because he got you off that goddamn, you know, hamster wheel. You know, I mean, he got you off of that motherfucking merry-go-round. He was giving you a fucking direction, and that direction was internationalist, of course. Which doesn't mean that we necessarily joined them. We became a group first and then joined them. But see, motherfuckers don't get that. And Garvey, again, laid the groundwork. But again, Garvey had faults. Garvey was an egotistical individual. Garvey didn't listen to anybody. Garvey didn't take advice from nobody. And he had an ego. And it got the best of him. He tried something shifty, and it finally gave the federal government a leeway to do something. Because if you actually look at it, because I've written about it, it's in Efforts for Fascists. When Hoover was going after him, because that's how Hoover made his bones. He went after Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and destroyed UNIA. I told you, my family is still down with what's left of UNIA and the New African Republic. You know, in theory, because there's nothing going on. But the point was, that's how serious my fucking family was involved in this shit. Conservatives who voted Republican. Black people should have their own shit. I get it. But see, the fucking thing is, though, is that, you know, like I keep, again, this leads into what I'm talking about. Now, let's go back to Occupy for a second so I can tie that up. I mentioned Occupy for a reason. They started strong, and yeah, they burned their books, they destroyed their fucking computers, and yes, I pointed it out. Go to Who, What, Why, and look at the work of Naomi Klein and a few other people, and you will see that the leaders of Occupy were told by the FBI that they were assassination attempts against their leadership. But the point was, they couldn't identify who the leadership was. And what's fucked up about the Bureau in this is that they knew about the plot. They stopped the fucking plot. The papers are right on Who, What, Why.com. They stopped the fucking plot, but they never prosecuted or at the minimum identified who the fuck was behind the assassination attempts. The only reason those young people are still alive is because they did not know who the fuck to identify. They couldn't finger any fucking button. And this was, you know, somewhat intended. But one of the reasons why Occupy fucked up was that they did not have a platform. They did not have a platform. So you had a really big fucking spark that went nowhere. So once the authorities realized that there was no continuance with this shit, that there was no continuity in terms of governance, because they couldn't identify the fucking leadership, there was nobody to turn anything over to. The idea was is that the concept will carry. But the concept cannot carry without some sort of fucking body making decisions. And then a management body making sure that those decisions are carried out. There has to be advisory committees. You have to have governance. And I know a lot of fucking people who talk a lot about anarchism. They talk about it without really understanding what the fuck it is. It's not a system without rules. It's a system without rulers. It's not a system without rules. And just like anything else, if you don't follow the goddamn rules, things get fucked up. Like I mentioned, you know, physics earlier. You got to use math in order to deal with this shit. If you don't, you know, whatever it's vector calculus, whatever the fuck it is, you have to use mathematics. There has to be a formula and ways to explain things. If not, then it's all, because remember, theoretics for the most part is theoretical. So in order to even have a debate, you have to be able to present a model. In order to present a model, you have to have an understanding underlying language. Because without this, it gets out of whack and then nobody understands anything. It becomes chaotic. And the whole point, and you know, the Russians are not original about this in the total sense. The British kind of did it in South Africa, the idea of chaos theory, right? You know, the idea of presenting a whole lot of, you know, false stories to make your opponent slip up. You know, so yeah, we're sending two units of such and such a regiment to such and such in the Transvaal at this particular area, this particular time, this particular day. And they make sure that that information gets out there. So the Boers will send the majority of their forces over to that area where there's nobody. And they will leave another area wide open, and they would just, I mean, it's flanking. So, you know, they would just go ahead and take them out. Well, it's a way of flanking. You know, it's moving the fucking, you know, the attention of the enemy. It's the focus of the brunt of their force somewhere the fuck else. It's one way, right? Black propaganda, playback. I mean, the Selous Scouts did this in Rhodesia during the Rhodesian Civil War. Rhodesian Civil War for the Africans, but, you know, a war against some anti-communist terrorism for the white Rhodesians, right? And their sycophant. What would they do? They would catch revolution. I mean, I don't know what else to call them. I mean, they were revolutionaries. It would take a long time to explain the particulars behind the politics of this, other than it was an anti-colonial conflict. But, and then, yeah, but this is where Mugabe came out of, right? So whether it's his forces or one of the independent revolutionary groups that were out there, the bottom line is that they were being supported by the Soviet Union. Because who the fuck else was going to support them? I mean, they didn't have any money. And, you know, the Cold War was going on in the continent, and, you know, Rhodesia was part of it. That's the only reason why Rhodesia was allowed to fucking stand up at all. See, they were not allowed to be independent. So, you know, if you're a white Rhodesian, and I've known several, right? If you're a white Rhodesian, then, you know, they left you out there. You were the last line of defense against communism in Africa, blah, 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 blah. You know, the same way when you listen to the Duke of Windsor, when he was talking about, you know, peace, like, you know, with the tears about to come out of his eyes. You're against peace. You're against peace. Just give Hitler what he wants. Just give him what he wants, you know, so that way we can have peace. Because, you know, I mean, this is the way these Nazis here talk about it. You know, if we don't get rid of these Mexicans, we don't have, you know, this shit, then, you know, it's all going to fucking fall apart. You know, this mixed marriage is a white genocide, goddamn it, you know, cultural Marxism, you know, all of this paranoid bullshit that they say to themselves to whip themselves up. I mean, what the fuck is prayer? But whipping yourself up to cement your beliefs. When Jews do the horror, what do you think it's about? Yeah, it's expression, but it has a dual fucking meaning. It's also bringing us together, the holding of the hands. We're in this together. There's nothing outside of this group. Now, just like anything else, it can either bind the people, or it can blind a fucking people. Hubris is a bitch, man, because when you're in it, you don't realize it. I wasn't born on Mars. I mean, I've had fucking situations where I couldn't see because I was so caught up in what the fuck was going on. So caught up in myself. So caught up in trying to, you know, figure out what the fuck was happening. So caught up in, you know, in some cases, trying to fucking survive. And it's just like you don't realize what's going on sometimes. See, this is where maturity comes in. This is where training comes in. Being trained. And this is where I was talking about Malcolm X. You know, the Nation of Islam gave him training. I've always said this. The Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad is must reading for all black men everywhere they are around the world. That does not mean that it's a Bible. It does not mean that it's something to be believed in as a religion. It is a, you know, is a guide. It's a train of thought on where the black man was at that particular time. And if you can parse that, I think you'll fucking come out of that, man, with a whole new understanding of who the fuck you are. I mean, between that and the autobiography of Malcolm X and anything by Sheikh Anta Diop is must reading to me. After that, everything else is secondary. And I'm not saying that, Chancellor Williams is not reading or course it. But if you really want to get to the basics of this shit, to be able to figure something the fuck out, that's where you start. That's where you start. I mean, that's just my opinion. But what I'm trying to get down to is, you know, we got to start. I mean, we really have to take emotion out of shit. Now, how does this come back to the dreamers? Well, as I said with Occupy, they didn't have a platform. So it was easy to fuck up. Because there was no continuance, because they didn't know how to continue. Because everybody had their say. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your goddamn say, but at some time, you got to take your fucking, it can't just be about you. You got to think about how shit will work for every fucking buddy. Of course, voting in terms of your own best interest. But see, the black people here have had to vote for whoever the fuck was handed over. Because there was nobody representing us, and then we felt we were going to be represented by Obama, and you were to a very limited fucking degree. Which he made clear during his 2008 race speech, that there was a bunch of motherfucking radical people out here who keep talking about race and making black, you know, white folks mad. And white people have a reason to be mad because, well, it's their country. I'm not putting words in his mouth. Read what the fuck he said. Because white liberals and conservatives thought that this was the speech that they could not be blamed for anything socially. They cannot be blamed anymore because, you know, he came up and said it. White folks have a reason to be angry with these angry niggas because they never stop fucking complaining. So you got Obama saying this and having a beer with a racist motherfucking cop after a black academic, another Uncle Tom, gets fucked up. So, you know, right? Where do you go? So it should come as no surprise that these people that are called the dreamers, and I know if you get one that, you know, come onto a mic, they'll deny this shit. But, you know, I've been around enough, known plenty of immigrants that are facing deportation. I mean, I haven't seen them in quite a while because I don't live in that area right now. But I'm thinking back, right? Who I know, their status was kind of touchy when I knew them. And I know that they're looking at deportation right now. But their kids are dreamers because that's how the kids were able to go to school. Because of DACA. And work. And they work. You know, they're going to school and they're working. I have to say that. But again, and listen to it, and I'm not trying to mock anybody. But you hear other Mexicans say this. That they sound white, right? That, you know, they dress white. They listen to Morrissey now, and they will argue with you that Morrissey's not a Nazi, and who gives a fuck about that other shit? Esteban, they call him, right? Esteban. You know, they've adopted Morrissey. A lot of these DACA age people, because they consider themselves to be part of this system. And you can't blame them. They've been here. But when I'm trying to make the point, like I mentioned Robert Eager, the Japanese police officer who ended up training, physical training members of the LAPD in hand-to-hand combat, he did not have sympathy for black people at all. I read an article where he talked about being a patrolman, and everything he said about the black folks there in LA was negative. Everything he said about what they were, you know, rioting over was negative. And there are people today, I know their children, I've had conversations with them, who think that black people deserve the animosity that we get. There's a family in Idaho right now. Her father went through the camps. They took his family's farm in Northern California at the time. Now, I don't remember if he served in World War II, but, you know, he ended up, after he was released, he went to Idaho and worked, and the family members, you know, they all got together, and it wasn't his farm, it was the family farm now, right? Because they had to pool their resources. Nothing positive to say about minorities. Nothing positive to say about minorities. But then when you really get down to brass facts, I can't remember him saying anything very positive about the Japanese either. His own people. And you got to remember something too, if you do the research, I don't have the book here, I have it at home. But we do have a lot of books here in the studio that I've brought here, that I've donated. But, and that I thought was one of them, but I believe it's, Cultures and Mainstreams. And I think that's the name of the title. And I can't remember the name of the author, but he's a Hawaiian, I believe, of Chinese descent, or mostly of Chinese descent. And he pointed out that the first case, legal case of an Asian in the American courts trying to have himself legally mandated as a white American was a Japanese who felt that the Chinese were beneath him, that Malays were beneath him, that Filipinos were certainly beneath him, and that he lived white, he spoke English very well, and raised his children to be white. It is in his testimony. And of course, he was rejected. So, you know, we have like a real confusion here. So, well, I'm not accusing the Dreamers of anything in particular, and I'm not, you know, coming down on them for becoming American. I mean, you go to another country, you live there, it's what's going to happen, and you should at least know the language and culture and whatever the fuck. I'm not saying you have to drop your individuality. You should never have to do that. But if you're going to live in France, speak French. Make an effort to speak French. If I move to anywhere in South America or move to Sweden or whatever the fuck, it's on me to learn the language. It's on me to understand them. Now, there's nothing wrong with them being, you know, hospitable. But it's not on them to fucking, you know, be responsible the entire time. And I know this sounds bad, but this is what I was saying politically. If you just have, I mean, what is colonialism? We don't have, so let's go the fuck over there and take their shit. I mean, that's what the Vikings were doing. They didn't have wood. That's how they ended up finding Greenland, right? And fucking Canada, you know, what we now know as Canada. Because, you know, one of the things they needed was wood. They also needed living space because, you know, their populations were expanding. And they needed slaves to do the fucking work because they didn't want to goddamn do it and have to pay wages and shit because there wasn't that type of an economy yet. So, you know, they raided Europe, the rest of fucking Europe, because they didn't have. And England is an island. It didn't have, so it spread the fuck out. Rome, it didn't have, so it spread the fuck out. So if you have a community that has, you don't think about doing shit like that. You know, you just don't have that kind of whatever. So, you know, the problems that, you know, Europeans are facing are problems that Europeans created their damn self. But because no one is going to be self-convicting to admit to any of this, we'll just continue to blame people. You know, I mean, we got black folks that are blaming, oh, these motherfuckers are taking our jobs. Well, it seems like that. And white folks are telling you that. But what are you going to do? You know, I mean, these people are offered an opportunity, so they take it. They need the fucking work, too. You know, I mean, the fact that they're offering the shit to them for, you know, $2.15, you know, less than what they're fucking offering you is not their fault. They're not the ones making the rules. And then you got other, you know, when it comes to this type of thing. I mean, the black community was very supportive at the time. Remember I mentioned the two times that the U.S. just loaded motherfuckers on trains and sent them the fuck out of here for whatever it was ahead. You know, the black press at that time, and I know it's hard for people to understand, we actually had our own fucking media. But the black press at that time was very fucking critical and very supportive of the Mexican community at that, in both cases, and has been supportive of DACA and the Dreamers. But we have to have a real serious discussion here. Has DACA or these Dreamers always been supportive of the black community? I'm telling you from my personal anecdotes, not really. Not really. And politically, that puts us in a real serious fucking hole because I'm hearing white liberals now who have, you know, moved their focus over from police brutality and worried about neo-Nazis to they will love Trump if he backs the Dreamers. And, you know, and all will be forgiven. They'll forget about all the other bullshit. They'll forget about all the fucking connections to Nazism, his telling the police to fuck people up if they want to, you know, all of it. They'll forget it all. His graft, his allowing Russia to come into the fucking country, right? I mean, they're having babies. Russians are going to Trump hotels in Miami and having kids, you know, anchor babies. You know, like he and his wife did, he and Melania did, you know. Nothing. So why is he being allowed to get away with this? Because he's a fucking white man. And psychologically, white people are not going to condemn another white man like that. They're just not. It's also self-convicting. They'd have to admit that they fucking First off, let him get as far as he goddamn did when he was telling you what the fuck he was going to do. The second thing is they'd have to admit that they fucking allowed him to stay in office even after he admitted that he fucking cheated. Because to go against this would be self-convicting. You elected a Nazi, let him run fucking wild. Who's responsible? The victims? And the Democratic National Party is what? Enablers? There are people now who are like, oh, you know, Nancy Pelosi's showing leadership. No, she's not showing fucking leadership. Remember? Impeachment is off the table. Impeachment is off the table. They had him by the short and curlies, but impeachment is off the table. The DNC can stop Trump anytime they fucking want. There's rules. There's laws. But there were rules and laws when Jason Stockley, is that his name? Look, when Jason Stockley shot this motherfucking man and then framed him. And after he's caught lying, the judge admits that he was caught lying. But says, you know, what am I supposed to do? But there's rules against murder. There's rules against police abusing their fucking authority. There's rules against framing fucking people. So if you don't follow the rules, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. But then you got to get people to fucking admit that it's not working for me, so I'm going to rewrite the goddamn rules. And I'm in a position to rewrite the rules, and there's nothing you can fucking do about it. So then you become the terrorist. You become the violent one. You become the person that's about the motherfucking, or the group, or the ideology that's about to just destroy it all. We're doing all the fucking violence and we're pushing you to the brink of fucking extinction. But, you know, if you get angry, you're out of pocket. Remember the 1980s? Because this is the anniversary of the Sabra and Shatila massacre. When a bunch of Lebanese Christians, right, and Israeli commandos, remember, going to two villages and kill every fucking buddy in sight. Women, children, elders, and they went in quiet at night with knives, hatchets, and killed every fucking buddy in sight. That is how Ariel Sharon made his fucking bones. But the IDF are heroes. Israel can't hold them responsible for this. There's rules against this kind of thing. But hey, it's Israel. If you accuse them, they will accuse you of anti-Semitism. Then they will accuse you of hating every Jew in the world, because they've taken it upon themselves to represent every Jew in the world. And we allow them to get away with this, one, because they're white, two, because politically they fill a colonialist fucking Eurocentric position where they are in Western Asia, and three, it would be self-convicting to say that they've allowed them to get away with all of this shit for all of these fucking decades because of A and B. So to let it go. I mean, I've known South Africans. How many South Africans would tell you that they were okay with apartheid? How many? How many people who went through Jim Crow here who were totally supportive of it will say today, oh yeah, you know, I was down with it? No, they all get that, you know, deer in the headlights look and fucking you see the veins pop up in the temples and shit and they say, oh no, I was never with it. It was always wrong. It was always wrong. So you stood up against it? Well, why are you asking me that? Why are you being mean? Because I'm asking you, you know, if you lived up to your Christian fucking rhetoric. So, you know, that's my question about the Dreamers and white liberals. You know, now that they've, you know, picked a new cause. This particular group of immigrants who at my fucking dinner table have basically said that black people got a fucking problem and that black people are fucking lazy. And that the word, you know, I mean, you know, we cause our own fucking issues. I got a job. I'm going to school. You know, you don't want to work. You don't want to go to school. Now that they're fucking getting kicked out. You know, why am I saying this? Because there's quite a few dreamers out there that back Bush. That back Trump.
All the way through this. Just like you got Omarosa and whoever the fuck. Still backing Trump. Still backing Trump. You know, Paris Denard. The ex-Sheriff Clark, right? Still backing Trump. Doesn't matter. Charlottesville, still backing. All the way. So what makes you think some of these dreamers? I'm not saying everybody, but I'm generalizing with intelligence. They consider themselves to be American. And when you become an American, you pick up American prejudices. If you remember correctly, because I sure goddamn do, Richard Pryor talked about this, and I found out later on in life that this was true. That they were actually literally teaching Vietnamese to call black people nigger here who were coming in after Vietnam. That really happened. It wasn't a fucking joke. That shit really happened. I've spoken to South Koreans that I come over here through Christian organizations. Because that's how most of them get over here. You know, they have some money in South Korea. They want their children to become Americanized. Because, you know, there's some clout of going to school here. And they want better for themselves. They adopted Christianity, so their own country is worthless, and they want to come to the West. Many of them came in through Billy Graham's organizations, but there's quite a few. And they told me, after I got to know them, they were told that black people were dangerous, and they had to stay away from us, and that they shouldn't allow their children to have anything to do with us. They were told, they were taught this. So, you know, there's a hell of a lot of racism that goes on in the Mexican community that is not addressed outside of the community. They got enough common sense to keep it under wraps. But as someone who was married to a Mexican, I mean, they didn't understand how much Spanish I understand. I comprehend. And fucking they were saying all kinds of shit, man. Mayate. I mean, they were just going on and on. And yeah, and eventually led, you know, partly to the end of my relationship because that was bullshit. And it was ridiculous to me to even fucking try to mediate something like that. But the bottom line was, even though she didn't feel that way, she couldn't cut herself off from her community. This is her community. This is her community. So you have white people who will not cut off their racist motherfucking relatives because that's their family. That's their community. And you have a lot of dreamers who they may not be connected to Mexico. A lot of them don't even speak Spanish. But they fucking go along with the current here. That black people cause their own motherfucking problems. And when you see political Mexicans out there, when you see political Latinos out there, realize that they're not representing necessarily their people. They're representing themselves. That when white people are out there at these marches, they're representing themselves. And I hate to say this, and it's fucked up to say this, but it's true. A lot of the black activists out there, they want to represent us, but really, when it comes down to it, we're in this position because we're really just representing ourselves. We're fighting for the group, but they're not fighting for us. So I'm asking the black community, my black brothers and sisters out there that are being political and the white liberals listen to the show in the States, really think about what the fuck you're doing. I'm not saying not to back these people. Definitely back them. But fucking, there's political shit that's going on here. If I'm going to back somebody that's going to turn around and then side with the, you know, Ted Cruz's and the, you name your Latino on the Republican Party, in the Republican Party. You know, there's a bunch to choose from that are just, who are they serving? Who's Ted Cruz serving? You know, who are any of these people serving? You know, we turn things around because, yes, this is a human rights issue. They can be sent back to death. And, yeah, on principle, you're goddamn right. I'm going to, you know, argue for them. But am I going to argue for people who are then going to turn around and side with the soft Nazis to limit my rights? Because if you don't think racism exists in the Spanish-speaking world, you're crazy. You're crazy. It's there, and it's part of what the fuck is going on now. They feel that they have done everything that they needed to do to become American, so fuck Native Americans, fuck black people,
I'm siding with the fucking power system. Because it's safer to go with the power system. Because that's where the power is. So I'm not asking anybody to question, you know, or drop their support for DACA. It's just, you know, do so with the realization that if they were, a lot of these people were conservative thinking in terms of their politics, in terms of black folks beforehand, and in many cases too, in their attitudes towards Native Americans, then what's going to happen after, you know, if they get some kind of reprieve? Are they going to continue to side with Trump? Because Trump, you got to remember, is trying to save face. The Republicans that are trying to get him to turn this around are doing this because they realize that the Dreamers will vote Republican if given a chance. As long as they continue to talk about family values and the church and all of that crapola and work, they will continue to get support from them, tacit support from that community, even though they're not doing a goddamn thing for them. If they can bring up their relatives with some people who have told me flat out that's what their politics are, they don't care who's in office. And they'll vote for a Trump. They'll vote for a fascist if they can make a deal. And this is what I wanted to say, and this is what I said, and you've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
And this is Javon Bonker, and you can catch me on Twitter, selfmade_G22. Let's Be Real podcast on Facebook. You look us up. Are you listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio?
There's a sense of inherent anger. People are angry, but they can't explain why.
Hello, sir, and why are you here today?
I'm here to protest, right? That I'm going on a march because I want Britain to be back British. I want Britain to be back British. Got interracial law and the Muslimic infidel. They're trying to get their law over our country. And it is happening. It's happening in other countries. It's happening in every country. It's you've got the Iraqi law that they put down in London. Like, we're more or less near London today. But they're trying to put the Iraqi law down on London. They're just trying to put their law down on us. We can't stand for that.
Which Iraqi law is this?
It's the Muslimic law. They've got their law. Obviously, it's their law, isn't it? Like, there's no one. We can't do anything about that. But we're just trying to stop Muslimic. We've got Muslimic rape gangs nowadays. There's 15-year-olds getting raped and everything. It just can't happen. That's why all these people are there. All these people around us, that's why they're there.
Thank you very much.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Fuck you, Trump. We'll see you on the streets. Am I disappointed? Yes. But am I surprised? Hell no.
It clearly shows what the country is made up of, what the country was founded on.
Darwin described the United States as a greedy, hypocritical, racist,
white supremacist, evil, warmongering nation.
Donald Trump is just a symptom of a greater system that has basically f***ed up for my people for over 500 years.
To me, the United States was founded in violence, developed in violence, and violence is an American, U.S. American tradition.
The thing that's rattling around in my brain is all of this militarized police and the attacks and everything that's been happening happened under the Obama administration. And I can't help but question what might happen under a Trump administration.
Now we have a really strong enemy to organize against that causes us to say, hey, we gotta get our together.
I'm Carol Gordon. Inform yourself about Plan B emergency contraception. Information can be the best protection, especially dealing with asexual assault or unprotected sex. If you are 17 or older, you do not need a prescription to receive Plan B. All Indian Health Service facilities should carry Plan B, but most don't. This is a violation of your reproductive rights. Call your local Indian Health Service unit and ask for Plan B. It is our right as Native women to receive Plan B. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Missy Elliott for the Black AIDS Institute.
HIV happens to us more than it does anybody else, which is why we should all get tested, because if we don't step up, then nobody will.
Get informed. Tested, get treated, and get involved. For more information, call the Black AIDS Institute at 213-353-3610. That's 213-353-3610. Or online at www.blackaids.org.
This is FSNL reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
We'd say that the ideas that they put forward outside football grounds on working class estates have to be combated politically, but also that they've got a physical agenda and that has to be met physically as well. People have to defend themselves against the fascists. They can't just turn the other cheek.
Come on.
Hi, this is Annie from Avoir Simone. You're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast.
HIV संक्रमित हरुलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईँलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African American.
Yeah, I was driving in today and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at headonradionetwork.com. There's a listen live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Star.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying? For Men in Hip Hop, really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about. It should be supported. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. And it's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers, we hate Jews, we hate faggots, and we hate specs. We people need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
I stood up to white folks down in Georgia. I know you wouldn't believe it, but you're looking at the first and the last black man that ever went to a Ku Klux Klan meeting in Georgia and came out alive. Not only that, Malcolm was at my house when the Klan first came. They came to my house in a 10-car motorcade. And when they pulled down my block, all the blacks on the block got up and ran in the house and ran through the house. I mean, they was getting out of Dodge. So Malcolm and I, we were standing peeping out the window because they had told us they were coming. They wanted to talk to us. So they stopped in front of my door, the lead car did, and all the other cars stopped. Then they looked the house over. A cop pulled up and talked to him. He pulled away, and then they pulled away. But they went around the block and they came back again. So when they came back, a little short Klansman got out of the lead car. I mean, he was really short. He was a little over 4 feet. He came up to the door, rang the bell. I opened it. He looked at me. You Jeremiah? I said, yes, sir. He saw Malcolm standing behind me. He said, you Malcolm? Malcolm, yes, sir. I'm Malcolm. He stood there and said, well, you want to come in? He said, no, I'm not coming in yet. I'm going to tell you niggas something. If I'm not out of here in 15 minutes, we're going to burn this house down. So Malcolm said, you don't have to burn the house down. Just come on in. So he came in. He wouldn't take off his coat or his hat. But he did sit down. So he started talking. Malcolm was sort of, you know, just asking him general questions. You know, who are you? What's your name? This, that, and the other. Then he said that he had to go. In fact, Malcolm kept looking at his watch. In other words, after about 10 minutes had passed, he reminded him, you know, you had better go out and let your buddies know that everything is all right in here. So he went back out. He came back in. He brought a preacher, a couple of politicians from down South Georgia where Jimmy Carter lived. Some down there near Plains. No, these crackers from Willacoochee, Georgia. Mean crackers. So they came in and we sat around the dining room table. And Malcolm began to talk. They started talking. And they said that, you know, you Muslims don't believe in integration. And, you know, we don't believe in it either. So, you know, we ought to get together. Now, this is a fact. And so we ought to get together. So we need to fight this thing. So that old Martin Luther King, he just stirring up things down here. He says that if we get together, we can fight this thing. So Malcolm said, well, what would we be called? He says, he thought about it. He said, we'll call you the Purple Robe. Malcolm said, the Purple Robe? Said, no, said, we want white robes. So he said, we want white robes. Said, no, said, no, nigga, you can't let a nigga wear a white robe. So we give you a purple robe. So Malcolm said, no, we want no purple robes. So then he kept talking. Then he got around to what he really wanted. And I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but this is true. They say, you know that old Martin Luther King, we can't catch that nigga. Say, we know he lived around here somewhere, but we don't know where. Said, now if y'all would just point the nigga out to us, say, we'll take care of him. So Malcolm said, oh no, so we don't believe in killing our own people. They say, you don't have to kill the nigga, say, we'll take care of the violence. And they were serious. They said, we'll take care of the violence. Malcolm said, no. So we're not going to kill our people. Say, our people have been killed enough. I give them credit. I was sitting right there. And that was one deal that we wasn't going to go for. But if he had gone for it, Martin Luther King wouldn't have lived as long as he lived. But we don't believe in destroying our own kind for the benefit of the white man. In fact, we don't believe in destroying our own kind, period.
Right.
The only time we would even think about something like that is if you did it first. And when you, as Captain Yusuf told you, you know, you do that to us, then you've got a problem. We don't have one, but you've got a big one. But the KKK, they kept on talking, telling us how they had beaten up a lot of black people. And then they started talking about Jews and how they had lynched a Jew. There was a Jew that was down in Georgia that had raped a little Gentile white woman, and they had all lynched this Jew, and they thought that was a big thing. They probably lynched a lot of blacks, but they didn't want to say that while they were sitting there with us. But they were talking about how they had lynched Jews and beaten up a whole lot of blacks because the blacks were integrators and they deserved to be beaten. But anyhow, he pulled out his card and he had a card with a buzzard's claw on it. He said, "Boy, it's the first time I ever showed a nigga this card." He said, "This is our secret arm." See, y'all got a secret group called the FOI, right? So this is our thing, the claw, the K-L-A-W. So then he gave me one of his cards. I asked him for one, he gave it to me. I kept it because whenever I get stopped by them crackers down in Georgia, when I took out my license, I take out that claw card. I give him both of them at the same time. He'd look at me and say, "Nigga, don't go so fast the next time. You hear me?" I said, "Okay, boss." But living in Georgia during that time was really rough. But I believed in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I stayed there for almost 7 years. And I got more scratches put on me by black people than I do by them devils. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me, said, "Brother, don't fear him. Say, pray to Allah and ask Allah to take the fear out of you." And he did. And I didn't fear that devil. I stayed there and I went wherever I wanted to go. All in the backwoods, because I used to be the correspondent for Muhammad Speaks. And I used to do stories all in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. In fact, when the white man broke into our temple in Monroe, Louisiana, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent me over there to get our brother Troy Bayard out of jail. The devils had beaten him up, beaten up everybody in the temple. But I want to just digress for a moment and tell you about Troy, because Troy was a real soldier. They broke into that brother's temple down there in Louisiana, beat up men, women, and children. But Troy was a fighter. When they arraigned Troy the next day, they said, "This old nigga here kept saying, beat the white devils, beat the white devils." And that made me proud of him. I'm proud of him to this very day, because he is one of those that stood up at a time when nobody else was standing up.
Coming to you live from Northeast Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is the Radio Free Kansas.
I'm your host, Mike Cadell, broadcasting from North Jefferson County, Kansas, smack dab between Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Atchison. Easiest way to describe it. Put together quite a good show. Think you're going to like it.
Radio Free Kansas on blogtalkradio.com/fightingcockfire.
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Vibe, the host and producer of the Dr. Vibe Show at
thedrivibeshow.com. At our show, we do conversations and provide information for black men and those who love them. So come check us out. Also at iTunes, and also selective episodes are featured at the Good Men Project, one of the most viewed websites in the world for men. So find out about black men and those who love them at the Dr. Vibe Show.
Sinclair Skinner. You can find me at SinclairSkinner.com. Twitter at Skinner Liberated. That's Skinner, LIBER, the number 8, ED. And you found me on Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
This ends our news flash.
En Muiden verdwijnen door de samenwerking is nog onduidelijk. Er werd al maanden onderhandeld over de fusie. Vakbond FNV was al bang voor banenverlies.
En ja, nu blijkt dat dat ook zo is. Tot er zeker zo'n 2000 arbeidsplaatsen in Nederland zullen vervallen.
Gedwongen ontslagen?
Nou, dat hoop ik niet. Maar in ieder geval hebben wij vorig jaar met het bedrijf hier afgesproken dat er een baangarantie is voor 5 jaar. Dus daar zullen we zeker de Nederlandse directie aan houden.
De centrale ondernemingsraad van Tata Steel